This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
All right, welcome to the Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese. It is so good to be here. It is a pleasure to wrap up this week for you. After days of big headlines, pretty intense chats we've had over the past week, I'd say. Finally able to round this week out, looking at some of the headlines that had people talking, some of the other ones we didn't get a chance to discuss. Here's a taste of what's coming up.
Hack.
I will be on leave at that time.
World first rules to try to control AI in Australia.
I've done a bit of jiu-jitsu in my time, so I just took his back and put him in a chokehold.
On Triple J.
Yeah, later we're talking citizens' arrests because I want to know if you've seen the footage of this guy in Perth doing it. Adam the plumber saw someone allegedly stealing from a bottle shop before trying to leave, carried out a citizen's arrest, making headlines around the world. Have you done this or have you seen it done? Has it happened around you? Are you surprised that this happens at all? Message in 0439757555. Before we get into any of that, though, let's meet our lovely, lovely, lovely Shake Up crew. And with us from news.com.au, Mary Madigan, hello.
Hi. Don't say news.com.au in an American accent. That takes away the whole point. Like, the
AU. The AU. You can't say the AU like that. How have you been? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's good. Happy to be here.
This is not actually the first time we have chatted today, is it?
No, we were texting at like 5 a.m.
At 5 in the morning, yeah. Mary responded to something on Instagram and I messaged her and said, what are you doing up at this time? And she said, well, what are you doing up at this time? We got into a big discussion and next thing you know, on the Shake Up.
You're also being modest. I like screenshotted you and sent it to you, someone raving about how good you are.
Yeah,
like, this person has a crush on you, are you aware? But the funny part was they raved about you but then picked the worst photo of you. And I was like, this is cruel.
Yeah, it's kind of bittersweet,
your eyes,
you know.
Were close.
I know. It was the worst picture. But anyway, it was lovely to start the day having a chat with you, Mary, at 5 a.m. Lovely to finish the day having a chat with you at 5:30 p.m. Also with us on the Shake Up today, reporter at the National Account, Archie Milligan. G'day, Archie.
Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How's your week been?
It's been busy.
It's been busy?
Bloody busy.
Yeah, you came into this building looking like you'd lived a life today.
It's been a bit like that. Look, you know, I can't say that I'm tired because we were texting at 5 a.m. But, you know, one day we might end up in that stage in our friendship as well, Dave.
Do you want to join the group chats with Mary and I, the 5 a.m. chats?
Much fun.
What are you doing this weekend, Archie? You're launching straight in? You're busy?
I might go watch a very good friend of mine announce wrestling. So that will be quite fun.
Oh, that'll be really
fun.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, nice.
That's
okay.
Actually exactly what I picture straight men doing on the weekend. That's perfect.
Mary, what are you doing this weekend?
Not that. I'm going to like a gorgeous markets and then one of my friends is hosting a Christmas in July.
Okay, so two very different, diametrically opposed weekends are being had. Look, we're going to get into some big news and we're going to talk about some time off, actually, because we've got some time off coming up over the weekend and apparently the Prime Minister's also got some time off soon.
Hack. Spotted in Sicily and swimming in the background, her party's billionaire benefactor.
On Triple J.
And not just the Prime Minister, One Nation leader Pauline Hanson. You might have seen the pictures of her living it up with Gina Reinhardt in one of Italy's most lavish seaside resorts. It's got everyone talking about political leaders, how much time they should have off, if they can ever really clock off. What do you think?
Hack.
After promising to be at Gama every year, the very next year...
Is this a broken promise?
I haven't had a day off all year.
He's too tired?
Better than swanning around in Sicily like Pauline Hanson.
Spotted soaking up the Sicilian sunshine with Gina Reinhardt.
The same luxury resort made famous by the hit series The White Lotus.
Has Gina funded it?
I would say it'd be a fair bet that Gina's supported it.
Images you don't want in your head.
Living it up, it seems.
I wished I hadn't seen it.
A person's allowed to have free time.
On Triple J.
A person's allowed to have free time, Barnaby Joyce says. What do you think? I want to hear your thoughts on this. What do you make of Albo saying he hasn't had a day off all year? Do you feel sorry for him? Do you care? How much time do you think political leaders should have off? message in 0439 757 555. Already got some messages coming through on Hack's Instagram. Someone saying, boo hoo, he's on 600k a year. Another person saying, he's the Prime Minister. It's a 24/7 job. Someone else, maybe he should take a break from playing games on podcasts, that person says. But then there are others. Someone saying, everyone's entitled to have leave. He's still a human being. And someone, M, saying mental health is a legitimate need. And if he needs leave, he needs leave. All right, well, let's ask the shake-up crew now. I'm joined by reporters Mary Madigan and Archie Milligan. Mary, can you believe that the Prime Minister hasn't had a day off this year?
Oh, I mean, I can believe it. Mm. I actually don't think it's healthy. I think everyone should be taking their sick leave. Mm. I'm a big fan. I actually freaked my friend out the other day because he was saying he has a cold. And I was like, oh yeah, once a year I get a cold and I take a week off work.
Once a year.
I get a cold and I take 5 full days.
Do you need the 5 full days?
You know what? This is the thing. I think that I do, because what tends to happen is most people take 2 or 3 days off, they come back, they sniffle, they get everyone else sick and infected, and they kind of have this cold for 2 weeks, right?
That's what happens to me. I take 1 or 2 days off and then it ends up just lingering.
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, you can technically on the 3rd day maybe go back to work, but you shouldn't. I'm a big fan of a 5-day siesta.
Okay. And you think should Albo take a full week?
Honestly, he needs to take 2 weeks off.
Okay.
Give himself a break. Is he doing that much anyway? I don't think so.
Mary Madigan sanctioned. Okay, opinions also flying through on how he's doing work-wise. Archie, what do you think?
I think it really comes down to the timing of this, right? I think it really actually more comes down to the event that he's chosen to miss. You know, this is...
Context is crucial here.
Right, it's the largest, you know, Indigenous gathering a year. He said he was going to be there. Could there not have been another, you know, instead of missing that event, could he have missed something else and then sent, you know, because this is, it's about the signals that it sends, right? And I think, you know, when it comes to should the Prime Minister take the day off, like, you'd hope so, in the sense of you don't want the leader of your country being like mentally fatigued 24/7, but I just think, oh, could you have not chosen a different day?
So just to bring everyone up to speed, Anthony Albanese was asked about him not going to Garma. And Garma is a big First Nations gathering. It happens in Arnhem Land every year. And Anthony Albanese goes every year. He's been every year since he was leader of the Labor Party. And he committed last year to going every year while he was Prime Minister. But this year he's not going. And so has, you know, upset a few people. Not the festival organisers. They've said, look, he's a friend of the festival. He always comes, but people are saying he made a commitment, he's not doing it now. And so he was asked about it and he said, I haven't had a day off this year. Do you think it's that, Mary, that has kind of annoyed some people hearing the Prime Minister just saying, I haven't had a day off?
Yeah, I think it the tone isn't right. But then I also sort of think, what event would be a good day off for him to have? Like, I imagine in his calendar there's always something that's really, really important and really, really matters. And at what point do you remove yourself? Do I think it's like the perfect PR line? Absolutely not. I wouldn't have let him do it if I was in charge of him. But I do wonder sometimes, do we read into things? Are we too harsh on politicians about the wrong things instead of the real things that actually matter? Like, I just wonder if we get distracted by these conversations.
Yeah, we've got a lot of messages coming through on the text line. Someone says, at least Albo wasn't on a deck chair in Hawaii or on a European vacation instead of doing his job. So people may be reflecting on a time Scott Morrison was having a holiday. That was very controversial at the time when there were bushfires in Australia. Someone else saying, without knowing what a normal number of days off have been for other Prime Ministers, it's hard to say. However, if you're busy and committed, it would be hard to ever switch off. It would be difficult, wouldn't it, Archie? Like, if you're the Prime Minister, to kind of have a few days off, surely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You're on call 24/7, even, you know, if you are out of the country, like, you are still... You know, it is a job that never switches off. You know, it's a bit, you know, sort of in the media thing. But, like, you know, people say, you know, people that work in news, you know, it never switches off. There's a lot of jobs where, you know, even if you're on a break, you're still thinking about things. I think it takes a lot. And, you know, we were talking before around, like, how long you need. Like, arguably, to properly switch off, you need, like, 2 weeks.
It takes a while, doesn't it? Like, a few days. I've actually got some time coming off later next week, which I'm crawling to. But I know that it's going to take a couple of days to fully unwind. Like, it doesn't happen immediately. Let's hear some of what the Hack audience has to say on this. Here's what Tessa thinks.
I reckon Albanese's having a chuckle if he thinks that's a valid excuse for the man who runs the nation's government. At least put some effort into your excuse next time.
Okay, so Tessa, not too impressed there with what Anthony Albanese said in response to not going to Gama. This is Macy's view.
Welcome to the life of a university student. If you walk into any Australian university, most students are full-time, which is a recommended minimum of 40 hours per week. And on top of that, we have to work crazy hours to only just be able to afford rent and groceries.
Okay, that's Macy's view. Catherine has seen things a little differently, though.
I do think Anthony Albanese has been out and about recently, whereas somebody like Pauline Hanson is currently overseas talking to her Conservative counterparts, but not doing what the public voted her to do. So I do think that it's a bit unfair to be criticising his need for a break.
Okay, well, that actually brings us to Pauline Hanson, the One Nation leader, because while Albo is saying he's working flat out, some pictures and video of Pauline Hanson in Sicily with Gina Rinehart have been, you know, making news. What do you think of this, Mary?
Oh, look, I kind of love it, to be honest. I understand, like, political leanings aside, I just love seeing two ladies have a good time.
Okay.
And I just think
they're
going
to... At the White Lotus Hotel.
Yeah, it's very White Lotus coded. I just think it's very funny. I would love to know what they talk about. And I would also love to know who picks up the tab.
Oh, do you not automatically assume it's Gina Rinehart?
No, because I feel like Pauline's the lady that likes to make a point.
Oh.
Like, is Pauline, like, batting Gina's hand away going, your money's no good here, I'll get it, doll? Like, is that what's happening?
Maybe it could be. Archie, what do you think seeing these pictures?
I mean, at the same time, right, it's a resort that's $2,500 a night.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can, you know, put the Amex away, but, you know, someone's got to foot that bill and it will be a hefty one.
It'll be
Look
so,
at that place.
Yeah.
And I don't think they care. I think, like, I don't think they care around the optics of this. You know, we talk a lot around the optics of, you know, Albanese taking a day off. And, you know, over on the other side, on you know, doing Euro Summer, I actually just think, like, they don't care. Because people will say, good on them. Good on her for taking a day off. Whereas, you know, we're kind of having this, it's interesting just to see.
But don't you think they're also trying to appeal to different people? Like, I think Albo's voters would be very critical of Pauline's trip. I don't think Pauline's voters will be critical of her trip.
Okay, right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't appear that a lot of them are. Like, just reading some of the commentary around it at this stage, it's interesting as well, like, just seeing some of the events that Pauline and Gina are going to. Like, they went to a Dolce & Gabbana event with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, that's incredible. that's where I want them to be.
Never in my mind did I think Pauline Hanson would be crossing over with J-Lo.
No,
yeah.
I can see Pauline enjoying that.
Okay, right. I mean, Pauline is also getting a lot of criticism for a meeting she had with Tommy Robinson, the controversial figure in the UK.
What is with Australians being like, should we catch up with Tommy?
Yeah. It seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment, doesn't it?
Have we just become aware of him?
Karl Stefanovic leading the charge there, now Pauline Hanson. What do you think this trip was all about, Archie?
I think it's a mixture of stoking the base, cultivating outrage, and getting headlines.
Okay.
Like, as simple as that. They do not care as long as the media is talking about them, right?
What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, I think it all just plays into her base. I think she's having, dare I say, quite a bit of fun with it. I think she wants to be talked about. I think Pauline has learned in the last year that what is helping her kind of rise is being someone that people find a bit fun, like, really honestly.
Jack from Perth says, I love how ironic it is that Pauline Hanson constantly calls herself a politician of the people but sees it totally normal to be living it up with the richest person in Australia. Another person says, good on Pauline. She's not the Prime Minister yet. I'm sure she won't be overseas if she's elected, that person saying. Someone else, I've got no issues with Hanson going on holiday, but I think it is a distraction from her hanging out with controversial people. And someone, someone's saying maybe just to try and shift a few headlines. It's like, go to Sicily for a few days and maybe some stuff will blow over. And another person saying, of course, they should have days off, politicians. How are they meant to make sensible decisions if they're tired or sick? All right, there's so much more we could get into, but we got to move on.
Hack. Imagine the disappointment you'll feel when you hear a song you love and it made you feel a certain way and you got to look it up and you find out it's an AI.
On Triple J.
Yeah, big week for AI news. I don't know whether you've seen all of these AI songs being wiped from Spotify, but also the government announcing its vision for AI in this country. Anthony Albanese making a very big speech earlier this week, but while some have said it's a massive step in the right direction, others have cautioned that it's high on vibes, low on detail. So what do you think?
Hack. When you call-
Spotify is cracking down on AI.
If they're using AI, how are they using AI? How do they want to let listeners know?
Our work has been corrupted by something that we don't agree with as a band.
Anthony Albanese thinks a new national office of AI will give us the best of both worlds.
Not everything produced in Australia is up for grabs.
If you have a melody stuck in your head that was made by an AI, it's like having microplastics in your brain, you know? It's not human, and that's sad.
On Triple J. Yeah, we're asking what you think of the government's AI plan that the Prime Minister unveiled this week, a roadmap for AI generally, data centres, making sure Australian artists aren't taken advantage of. Were you impressed by it? Or was there something missing that you would have liked to have seen in there? 0439 757 555. Also, did you hear Spotify has deleted 75 million spam tracks over the past year? Are you coming across any of these kinds of tracks? AI-generated music that you don't want to hear? Hit the text line now. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by journalists Mary Madigan and Archie Milligan. Archie, thoughts on the government's AI announcement this week?
I mean, yeah, step in the right direction is obviously the right word. In December, I had a chat with Ganga Jang frontman Mark Callahan, and he called the use of, you know, training AI on Australian music is the greatest theft in history, you know, when it comes to stealing copyright. But just as a quick aside on that, Dave, because you mentioned data centres, and there was another thing that probably doesn't get as much airtime, which I think a lot of people are still quite concerned about. When, you know, data centres come in, they're using a lot of power. And what was mentioned in this announcement was that they're going to make the data centres pay for their own power. Well, that's the goal, right? And so that hopefully when it comes to the energy grid and all that sort of thing, that we don't end up, you know, screwing over the average Aussie who are having to then compete with data centers for power, because hopefully these data centers will be paying for their own power.
Mm. Yeah, it's like it's a big move, and also trying to limit the amount of water that data centers are going to be using, trying to drop that. That's obviously a big concern, Mary, data centers generally. Like, have you been seeing a lot of content around this? Have you been noticing from audiences that, you know, they want to hear more about data centers and they are a bit worried?
I think everyone is really, really overwhelmed by data centers and AI. And I actually think the average person I speak to is like, it's just too much for me and I don't want to think about it.
Checking out.
Yeah, because it is really overwhelming, and it almost feels when you talk about like a big conspiracy, right, where you're like water and power and how can they use my voice? And like, I just think the average person is like, I just don't want to know about this.
Were you checked into the AI announcement this week? Like some of the detail there, did you have any thoughts on what was announced? Were you surprised by what was announced?
I think as a journalist, I'm really terrified by AI. So for instance, if you type into like ChatGPT, write an article like Mary Madigan, it will.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not exactly quite the same replica, but it definitely steals some of my tone and my style. And I think that is devastating and terrifying and really worrying.
Which is what a lot of musicians have been telling us. Like earlier this week, we talked to a bunch of artists, you know, emerging artists or established ones as well, who were saying, our work exists in these data sets overseas that could be used to train AI, and it freaks us out. Like we're worried about it. And yes, the government is saying we want to make sure that no work is stolen and that like artists are compensated, but we're not sure we have confidence that this is actually going to work.
I think it just takes so long as well for the law to catch up with technology.
And also, you know, like there's all these issues around jurisdiction and if you were to take it to court, but even like how do you afford to take someone to court and all the rest of it?
Well, also, it's a bit late. Like a lot of these, it's already been trained. These models are absolutely insane. And they've already used Australian music. They've used music from around the world already. Like obviously legislation takes time and all this sort of thing, but you know, big tech will take and consume whatever it can. And, you know, like hopefully in the future, you know, for the next set of Australian bands, that models won't be trained on their music. But I'm sorry to say, for literally already everything that's in the sphere, on the internet, on everything, it's already been used. Okay. You've already been stolen.
Some people have been saying that they think it's a bit too little too late. Others are saying on the text line now, look, at least it's a step in the right direction. Do you see the news this week that Spotify has removed 75 million spammy tracks in the past year? Are you coming across any of this music, Mary?
Oh, yeah. I keep getting on my algorithm, which says more about me than anything else, like fake Taylor Swift AI songs.
Oh.
And they pretend, I'm like so in deep, they like pretend they're like an unreleased track that someone's leaking, but it's just It's just AI.
Apparently 100,000 songs are uploaded to Spotify servers every day, and a huge number of those you would imagine are AI generated. Does that surprise you, Archie?
Yes, but I mean...
That's a huge
number. It's a huge number. Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if it was like 10,000 or something, but yeah. I guess, you know, people all over the world doing it. I actually can't say I've come across it yet. I don't think the people that are doing this are necessarily targeting, you know, my music taste, which is that of a 60-year-old man, so sort of Billy Joel and the Doobie Brothers, but, you know, I haven't come across
it
yet.
They'll come for it soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep scrolling, babe.
Yeah. Look, and then there was that story that you might have seen over the last week about the number one song on Australian radio charts by a Queensland-based producer suspected of being made by AI. And that has freaked a lot of people out. And I don't know whether you saw this, but the ABC News Instagram account, TikTok account went out and kind of vox popped, asked a few people, tested if they could see what was real and what was AI. And a lot of them couldn't. Like, most of them really struggled. Like, young people, older people, it was like, is this AI? Is it not AI? It's a bit scary, don't you reckon, Mary?
I think that is the thing that scares me the most about AI, is that you can't always tell anymore what is human and what isn't. I think there are tells. You know, it's funny, I teach at university and I mark papers, right? Because I'm really intelligent. And I am always looking for AI signals. So, for instance, like a hyphen.
Right.
People over hyphen, that's usually a tell that they've used AI.
The M dash.
Yeah, that's a big tell. Certain words, like you kind of like most 19-year-olds aren't using this word at the moment. Like you can pick it up, but some of them are really good. And I try and do it. I try and teach my brain so I look at it before I look at the AI score to try and be like, try and guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm wrong. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, no, I think they wrote this, and the AI score is like 95%.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Zan Rowe, a music expert, obviously at the ABC, says you just got to, if there are lyrics, you just got to listen to the lyrics, because you'll always figure it out. They're like insane and sound ridiculous. And at the moment, they're not doing too well in that department. Someone on the text line is saying AI is so stupid. There's nothing to interpret. Half of art is being able to interpret the human intent behind it. Where is the emotional debate? AI art sucks, that person says. It's also worth going and checking out Hack's Instagram and seeing some of the artists who we interviewed earlier in the week who opened up about how they're feeling regarding their work being used in these data sets. You know, they're saying, our culture and humanity is being made obsolete. We need better protection. So you can find it on Hack's Instagram, on TikTok too, but we're going to move on.
Hack. I said, I think you've got the handbrake on, mate. And then I thought to myself, I've probably made a mistake there.
On Triple J.
Now, this is quite the story. If you haven't seen it, you're going to want to see it. A citizen's arrest, no less. Perth plumber Adam Breen down at the bottle shop when he says he was forced into action. And now it's become a viral moment.
Hack.
A citizen's arrest has gone viral.
You are joking. This is so good.
Behind the camera, a young plumber called Adam Breen.
And I've seen him half-legged out.
Was he carrying something?
6 or 7 bottles of spirits.
The driver that seemed to be having a bit of trouble getting out of the car park.
Should probably stop this man before he injures someone. I said to him, you won't outrun me. And he sort of dropped his bags and he's gone to shape up and his throat's thrown a punch at me, and then I've just taken him down.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I want to know what you thought of this citizen's arrest, but also, have you ever done one, or have you heard of someone who has? What happened? Did it work? 0439 757 555. You can also call in too if it's a really, really good story. 1300 055 536. We want to hear it. Jump on the radio. It is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by journalists Mary Madigan and Archie Milligan. Mary, did you see this story?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
A citizen's arrest. Can you imagine yourself doing that?
Oh, no, I'm lazy.
No, not doing it?
I'm a woman that looks the other way.
Oh, no, no.
Especially with shoplifting. I'm like, that's none of my business.
Okay.
That's their journey.
Okay.
But I'm all for it. Like, I think if you have the energy for it.
Did you know that this was commonplace? Well, maybe it's not too commonplace, but that it was happening in Australia?
No, I know it's a thing because I work at news.com.au. So I'm very aware of the culture.
You're like, citizens' arrests are our bread and butter.
Yeah, we love a citizen's arrest. Especially if it's like, you know, an Aussie man. It just talks how it is. Like, that is the news.com that you dream.
That's where it's at.
But I'm all for him doing it. But me personally, no. And I also am a bit like, is it a bit judgy? Is it a bit judgmental?
Okay. What about you, Archie? What did you think of this one?
I mean, it's pretty hectic, and like, obviously, you know, good on him for, you know, doing the right thing. I mean, I don't want to sound like a bit of a stick in the mud, but also, like, you know, there is still like a bit of risk to it, right?
Oh, there's so much risk and to like, it, which is what legal experts are saying.
And it's a ballsy move, yeah, but like, man, look, I wouldn't be putting the bloke in a head tackle.
Okay,
you know, that's a bit much. Like, I'd record so I could, like, you know, help police or whatever. You know, like, be like, here's X, Y, and Z.
Would you record a shoplifter?
Oh, it depends. I think.
See, I just think no. I think that's a dog act.
Hold on. I'm not sure, Mary. So you're just like, have a good day, walking the other way.
I just don't think it's any of our business.
Okay, right.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of being a dobber.
No, fair enough. Okay, that's...
I think it's different if the crime is hurting somebody else.
Yeah, and that's the key difference, right?
But I think like something like that, I mean, I don't know. I feel less judgmental. But if someone was hurting someone, absolutely I would step in or I would record it or I would do something. Yes, I would report to an authority. But shoplifting, it's quite benign to
and
me.
And may I just make it clear here, and I'm sure you mean this as well. You're not condoning shoplifting at all, Mary.
No, you would never do that. No, I would never. No, but I just don't know if I feel strongly enough about it to be like, right, I have to intervene.
Yeah. I mean, the legal experts were saying it is really risky because obviously there's a safety risk, you know, a person could be armed, but also they could later come for you for like assault or something if you hurt them, and you have to have like a really good basis for doing it. Like, it's not just like, person, I don't
it's,
like
it's
the
pretty
look
vibe
or,
based, right?
Yeah,
like it's about like quote unquote reasonable force
and yeah,
who determines what reasonable means, right? Like, that's something that then kind of, you know, that's the vibe-based part of it, right?
We got a lot of messages coming through. Someone saying, I actually had to wrestle with a guy to get him out of our shop today. He was trying to stuff a UHF radio down his pants. Turns out he's out on bail for doing armed robbery, so maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. Okay. Well, I'm glad it all went well and things have been okay. Someone else on the text line says, I've arrested somebody twice.
Oh, my God.
What? Alert the authorities. What is going on here? Yeah, I wonder what police do think of it. If
I don't
like,
think police like it.
No.
Well,
also because it's taking someone else's glory, right?
Yeah.
But there's also been
That's their one thing they get to do.
There's been this rise in, like, vigilantism,
yeah,
like, that I've noticed recently. And, like, seeing stuff overseas on social media, but also back here in Australia, people, like, stings and stuff to catch people, that kind of stuff. I wonder, yeah, how police are dealing with that and if there is a trend here of just ordinary Australians thinking, actually, maybe I want to step in
it's
and do something.
Social media, though, don't you think? I think people do it so they can post it online. I'm not saying this guy in
surely,
particular.
Surely.
But I think this is where it's all come from,
well,
right?
This guy was filming for his mates. That's how it started. He was like, I was just getting it for the boys. I think they find it funny. And then it just escalated and he thought, I might have to do something here. Did you see the video of the car trying to get away with the brake on?
It's pretty janky. It's pretty, you know, it is entertaining. Is, you know, I'm always in two minds with these things, right? Because, like, part of my brain's like, oh, you know, safety and whatever. And the other part of me is like, yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. Someone on the text line says, snitches get stitches. Yes, classic saying. All right. Hopefully that's not a threat. Someone else saying, thank goodness there are still good, decent people around, like the brave plumber. Yeah, I mean, he's made... you know, been made famous around the world. Everyone knows this plumber now. And the interview with him, you can find it on the ABC News website, actually, is hilarious. And I highly recommend listening to it. Someone on the text line now, my mate and I saw someone take a handbag from a tram stop in Port Melbourne while the owner wasn't looking. We chased him down the street. He tripped and we jumped on him and held him while we waited for police. While waiting, we saw a handgun that had fallen out of his pocket. Never again, that person says. Yeah, okay, so there is a word of warning.
The energy these people have, though, like to be jumping on someone and holding them down, it's a lot. It's a lot of motivation.
And this is what authorities are saying. It is a risky thing and they're not recommending people do it. So there you go. That is the shake-up for this week. It's been a huge one. Archie Milligan, thank you so much for coming in. A pleasure as always.
Dave, it's so good to be back.
Have good time at the wrestling. Enjoy your time with your mates. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be hectic.
And Mary Madigan from news.com.au. Enjoy your weekend as well. Slightly different, but enjoy. And
thank you.
A big, big shout out to the hardworking Hack crew. It has been a massive week. Our executive producer, Edwina Story, our radio producer, Eva Blakemore, all of our reporters as well, Angel Parsons, Evelyn Manfield, who's leaving us. Goodbye, Evelyn. Jason Katsaris as well. Ariana Lucente, Jackson Worthington, Alice Angeloni, April McLennan, all of them. I'll be back after the weekend.
Hack on Triple Jack.